Hello and welcome to Pixel Field Podcast, where we talk about design, tech and innovation. I am Dominic, one of your two hosts, and today with me, it's actually not Philip, our usual second host, but I have a special guest, Marek, who's a behavioral expert at Pixel Field. Hello Marek, how are you?
Hey everyone, hi to all the many fans of Pixel Field's podcast. I'm doing very well today. How are you, Dominic?
I'm good. I have to say, we are growing our numbers very slowly, but we are growing. Like, we started with just two listeners, which was me and Philip, and we are getting over 10, I think. It's a big achievement. We'll have to keep it going, and I'm sure we'll get to better numbers.
Oh, definitely. And with all the passion that we are putting into it, I'm sure we'll get there.
Yeah, I think so.
What's the topic for us today?
Yeah, Marek, thank you very much for joining us today. I want to use your expertise and talk about something that is very close to what you're doing in your day-to-day work life, which is actually gamification. I would like to like pick up your brains on what is gamification, which many of our listeners would know, but many won't, and how we can use it in our job, basically, how we can use it to improve products, experiences, services, whatever that is. So can you give us like a brief explanation of what gamification is?
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure. So first of all, I think I should just briefly introduce myself. I'm all into behavior change, behavior science, behavioral economics. I will be teaching at the University of Amsterdam the course called Persuasive Communication, which is a lot intertwined a lot with behavioral principles as well, and I'm also a representative of Pixel Field in the Netherlands. And in terms of gamification, I think this is a very interesting topic for all sorts of the potential listeners of our podcast, because gamification can be implemented in both commercial and non-commercial fields, and it has been implemented many times, and yeah, I guess some of the classic examples could be maybe point schemes for employees of your company or supermarket loyalty programs. I'm also thinking of an example from the non-commercial sector. So for example, when I was writing my bachelor thesis, I created a case study about this game called Hello You, a game developed in the Netherlands, in Utrecht. And this game was all about teaching children some basic principles of healthy living via a game where they had kind of like their own Tamagotchi creature. And they had to exercise in order to feed it, and they had to record what they were eating, and the creature was eating the very same thing. And through this game, they learned the ropes of a healthy lifestyle. So I find that very appealing. Basically what the term means is the use of game mechanics, behavioral elements and design techniques from the game environment in non-gaming contexts. So you can maybe think of point collection or progress bars, badges, feedback loops, rewards, you know, like proceeding to different levels. Having the opportunity to compare your performance with your peers, maybe, and having a leaderboard and some timely challenges, all sorts of things.
This has been like a recurring theme in my career, where I had clients coming to me like, oh, we have to gamify our product. Let's create a in-app currency or reward system or something, which I'm not entirely sure if that is gamification, if you just plug in some reward system to anything you're doing. When would you say is like a good time, or what is a good reason to implement gamification to your app? Can you think about any examples where maybe gamification might not be the right thing to do, and why?
Well, yeah, for sure. That's a very good thought, because I think many people are thinking of gamification as a cure for everything, which should not be the case. Yeah, recently your question reminded me of an article I read a couple days ago on LinkedIn by Dr. Zach Fitzwalter, who is very much into gamification from the academic and research point of view. And in one sentence, what he was trying to say in the article was that you should only use gamification if your problem, if the problem that you are trying to solve has a motivational character. So if you're struggling, maybe we can bring this thought back to your own experience. If you guys were struggling with a problem with, you know, like motivating the users to do something, then it might have been a good idea to use gamification. But if not, then maybe you just did it for the sake of, you know, fashion, because it's very fashionable now, to trendy to use gamification in apps and in all the sorts of digital products, I think.
Yeah, this is something I found like quite tricky to basically like find the argument like for using or not using gamification, in the sense of sometimes I feel like when you try to gamify something that doesn't have to be gamified, you end up with product that just puts barriers in front of like your users, right? Let's say if your user wants to just do something that you should enable him doing straight away, but you hide it in front of like several tasks that they need to accomplish just in just to get them like attached to your product or something, then I think, yeah, it might be like quite tricky and can be potentially dangerous for the product. Yeah,
with barriers, exactly as you said, you know, like users usually are very different, and you have different personas of every digital product, and you have to think of how the different kinds of people that will be using your product, what levels of difficulty and pace they require. And if those differ a lot, then it might be very dangerous to use gamification, because that might discourage many of them to use the app properly. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, if you are dealing with a very sensitive topic, then gamifying it might not be appropriate and might be considered as, you know, ridiculing the whole topic.
Yeah.
And also, for example, if I think of social comparison, comparing your performance with peers and the general public, then in some cultural contexts, it might not be a very good fit. What I noticed and what I heard from some people in the Dutch Football Association, they also created an app where you could track your athletic performance, and you could compare it to not your peers, but the top athletes in the country. Mm-hmm. So basically you were able to compare yourself and your 100 meters sprint with the best sprinters in the country, because the Dutch are very competitive, and they have a mindset of you know, them wanting to become the best, the very best, and that's what they aim for. But in some other countries, this might be very inappropriate and disencouraging again. So you have to think of the cultural context as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that matches your experience, if you were at all thinking of the culture and the different personas in the target audience you're trying to cover.
Yeah. I think it's important. Like, I haven't probably encountered any case where the like cultural aspect of it would be the important part of whether it's not gamify or yes, gamify. But I agree, this is something that should be definitely considered. I think, yeah, like running apps and general, like in sports and sports market, I think that's like the most obvious example of gamification we can provide, right? I'm now just thinking about Nike running app, which I think is genius marketing and works pretty well, and the numbers speaks for them as well. Where basically they, I don't know if they were like one of the first, but definitely one of the most popular apps for like measuring your running performance with your friends, and also it's getting you out to run more often.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I know we had this thing in our office, Yeah, we had like a challenge, right? Where we had to run, I think it was 120 kilometers or something in 3 weeks or something like that.
And so, I think only one person completed it. Not a very big company, unfortunately. But we are trying to work on it.
Yeah, exactly. And I basically, I think this might be actually what you just mentioned, the thing, like a road to successful gamification, right? Where obviously you should reward the first and best one the most, but maybe to match it to different levels, to not what's the opposite of reward? I'm lost for words. Yeah, not sanction users that are not so good at whatever you're trying them to do.
Exactly. The social element is very, you should think of it very deeply and carefully consider if it's appropriate for your particular challenge. So just coming back to how gamification works and why is it often effective, the most common mechanism, I think, is that it provides so-called entertainment gratification. Basically, it's fun. It's gamification has the great ability to make rather dull things more fun, and therefore your attitude is becoming more positive towards the digital product or the behavior that you're trying to change, and that leads to more adherence and more success in the long run in terms of behavior change or just in terms of adherence to the app and continuous use. But also for some other problems, it might be better to focus on social motivation and really push the comparison element in the app. But for some people, all they need is just gamification as means of setting goals and achieving goals. So, for example, in terms of running apps, fitness apps, or maybe some diet apps for people who want to lose weight, gamification could be a good solution to kind of facilitate their goal setting and enable them a clear path to, for example, losing weight step by step. Mm-hmm. And then social motivation might not be so important, and entertainment gratification might not be important at all. You know, it doesn't have to be fun, but if it's a game with clear goals, then it might be good enough for them. And also the last mechanism I want to talk about is a first-hand experience. So that's, I think, the case of the Hello You game that I was talking about, you know, for Dutch kids. Because the app wasn't really educating the children so much, like directly talking about, okay, you should eat this and you should exercise like this, but they were experiencing the exercise and healthy eating with the Tamagotchi creature. And by living through this experience, they found out that they themselves actually feel better, both them and the Tamagotchi character. And then they realized, well, this might be the way I want to live my life as a child.
It seems like gamification is a big thing for probably like a healthcare and healthy lifestyle and that kind of stuff, which I know it's something that interests you in your professional career as well. Do you have like any favorite example or case study, whether it's something you've just saw or used or studied or whatever, or some like real life example of how gamification can be used in those industries?
Yeah, so for example, with the child healthcare, another example that comes into my mind is a game for severely ill children who are lying in hospitals and were then prescribed antibiotics, but in the long run, so they had to eat a lot of antibiotics in terms to deal with their symptoms. And you know, if you eat antibiotics, if you consume antibiotics in the long run, then it's really not good for your body, and you basically feel really, really bad. It has mm-hmm. a lot of negative consequences for your daily life. So they, what the creators of the app had as their challenge was to increase adherence, because a lot of children were just giving up on the antibiotics and they were, mm-hmm. you know, not adhering to their prescription. So the creators of this program, they developed an app, a game, mobile game, which was very much about the entertainment gratification. So the children were put in into this superhero themed character, and they were flying in the human body, and they were like shooting at different bacteria and killing the disease, and they were in the role of the antibiotic hero, basically. Mm-hmm. So through playing this game, like, they were in hospitals, you know, so they had a lot of time to play the game, and it was fun for them, like a very nice element to their day. And while playing the game, they were supposed to realize, well, yeah, so the antibiotic is a superhero, and even though he doesn't make me feel so great, I know it's important that I support this superhero in me, and that I allow it to really work its magic and help me recover, you know. So that's a good mm-hmm. example as well. But yeah, I totally agree that it's it has a lot of great potential in healthcare, which was also one of the reasons why we decided to build our mobile game. I don't know if you've heard. I know you knew you had, but...
Yes, I did, but please update me and update our listeners.
Yeah, so just to briefly introduce the concept, a couple months ago, we were thinking about designing our own game, and I brought up this idea of creating a mobile game which could tackle the symptoms of OCD. So obsessive compulsive disorder, and now we are talking about mild to moderate symptoms, so not people who are affected by the disease so much that they cannot function normally in their daily lives, but you know, people like us who just have some of their rituals that they have to perform, otherwise they feel bad, or they have to keep something in their house really clean, otherwise they become anxious. And so the idea is now to use a concept called exposure response prevention therapy, which is all about exposing the patient to the triggers, so to something that makes you feel uncomfortable if you have those symptoms of OCD, and then preventing you from performing the ritual, or let's say cleaning the place, which is making you feel anxious. But if you're prevented to act on it, then over time you will realize that, well, you know, it's not the end of the world if I don't perform the ritual, or if I don't clean my table or something. And if you do this therapy regularly, then in the long run, you should become less and less concerned about all the different triggers. And we wanted to take this exposure response prevention therapy and hide it in a game mechanic. So basically, we were thinking of a game where you could play several mini games based on the different subtypes of OCD symptoms. And at some point during the mini games, you would not be able to perform a certain action, which would trigger, again, the feelings of anxiety in you, the obsessions, basically, but you would not be able to act on it. And then, in just a short bit, the game would continue, and everything would be fine, you know, you would be gaining points again, so the player would immediately realize, well, it's nothing bad that happened. It's totally fine, everything is fine, I have my points, all is good, and if I don't act on these triggers, it's totally, totally fine. And recently, we've partnered with the National Institute for Mental Health in the Czech Republic, and it seems that they will be cooperating with us in the project of developing this game, and they will be bringing some user testing, user insights, research element to the whole project, which I think is very exciting. So I'm looking forward to that very much.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more updates from you. And I hope we will be able to talk about them on podcast as well and kind of follow the journey with you and with the whole team that's working on the game. Yeah, this is super exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
But basically, why they are so interested in the whole concept is that they are only treating, you know, severe cases, but they don't have any products for people with mild to moderate symptoms, which are often the starting point for the severe cases, you know. So this could function like a great prevention program, I think. And also, they just don't have so much fun therapies, you know, and this is all about entertainment gratification again. So it could be, the app should be fun and easy to play. People should play it regularly and, you know, continually. So those are some of the necessary conditions of the exposure response prevention therapy. And I just think that a mobile game could really make a difference in this respect. So I'm looking forward to working on it with you as well.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait. So far, we've talked about gamification, I think, mostly in the context of actually creating a games, which we should probably mention that this is not like gamification doesn't mean that you just create a game, right? You can basically use the concept of gamification within your existing products and services.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Would you be able to talk a bit about that? Like, what are the kind of techniques and tactics, how we can implement gamification and use its advantage in your like existing app or something that is not a game and is not supposed to turn into full game?
So basically, I will just make a short detour to some Dell theory for a short bit. I wanted to mention this model called the COMB model. And it stands for capability, opportunity, and motivation. And it means that if you want to change a behavior or induce, you know, trigger some behavior, it could be as part of a public health program, but it could also be as part of just a commercial app where you just want to trigger some action that your users should do. Well, you should think about three things: the capabilities of people to doing the action, and those capabilities could be physical or psychological, and also about the opportunities, which are again physical and social. So if you have the physical opportunity and physical capability to do the thing, and if you are, you know, psychologically capable, if you have the knowledge or skills necessary for the action, and also if there are no social sanctions for doing the action, then the problem could be in motivation, and that's where gamification can be of great help to you. Coming back to your question, if you have an existing app and just want to, you know, push the users to doing something that they are not doing as much as you would like to, then you should first think of, you know, are they able to do it physically and psychologically? Do they have the physical opportunity? And would this be considered a good behavior by their peers? And if not, if they have the capability and opportunity, then they probably don't have the motivation, and then you could just implement an element of, well, some loyalty programs where you gain points, or you know, leaderboards in team management software, all sorts of things. I don't know if you yourself, I'm definitely sure that you might be encountering some gamified elements on a daily basis, you know, whether if it's IT management software. I think our team management software in Pixelfield also has some gamified elements. I don't know if you noticed, because it was only added recently.
I know that we had like a reward system in our project management tool, but which I don't know if it's what you're talking about, because you just said it's been added recently.
Recently the point system was kind of updated.
Okay.
You can give your peer, your colleagues points for completed tasks if they did a good job. Which is an interesting example. So, it's just interesting. Well, so I just one thought that I have in mind right now. Do you think that gamified elements could work well for older target audiences as well, or is it just like appealing to our inner child and to people that played a lot of games in their lives and maybe could be more attractive to, for example? So in our company we have quite a young team. But let's imagine that we are not, software designers and developers, but we are selling hardware, let's say.
Yeah.
And we have a much older team. Do you think that this could work, similarly well?
Yeah. This is a difficult question. And to be honest, I don't think I have an answer to that, because many of the examples I've been thinking about and even now during our chat are actual examples that are mostly targeted on younger audience. Like, for example, one of my like favorite ways of like solving a business problem with gamification is what GiveGaff did in UK. GiveGaff is like a budget phone plan provider, not broadband. I want to say broadband. I don't think they do broadband. And they basically solved which for every company like this, they are quite a huge company. The one of the big expenses you have and big problems to solve is your customer support. What they did is that basically, anytime you buy a GiveGaff SIM card, you are onboarded through interesting flyers and marketing and everything into their a member community, where you are welcomed and you basically are greeted as a part of family and everything, and invited to join the forum, a discussion panel, if you have any problems or anything. And basically, as you join as a member, you get rewarded with points for helping other members. So, which is something that many companies, it happens naturally. People do use discussion boards and forums and everything to help each other out and communicate, right? Especially in our industry, Stack Overflow and those things for developers and all the other things. I have a broadband from Virgin, and I had a problem with the broadband, so I was trying to find a solution for it online, and I found a Virgin discussion board where just random people were answering the questions and everything. GiveGaff went a bit further with this, and they started rewarding the members for answering really good answers. If they got voted that it was a helpful solution, they were rewarded points where they could then translate those points into free minutes, free data, or they could give money to charity for those points. They could convert it to cash and GiveGaff would give it to a charity of I don't know if it was user's choice or their choice. But this is probably something that would be mostly used by a generation that is already used to using technology and everything.
Yeah, however, so I think the gamification concept that do not come solely from digital gaming environment, but the idea of collecting points and exchanging them for rewards and maybe comparing yourself to others, that is that is just natural to human beings.
Yeah.
Is very well established in our society. So in my opinion, I think it can work very well for other people. Of course, maybe for some people, the rewards might be the ultimate motivation and not the game experience itself. They will not be so happy about the whole process of gaining the points and being happy for it and gaining the entertainment gratification from it.
Yeah.
But they are just, you know, motivated solely by the rewards.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would say like probably the typical example of this is in e-commerce, like limited deals, right? And limited stock where some like big e-commerce players can have like special, like for example, Black Friday sales. I saw that. I think Amazon is doing that and many, I think many others, Voot and some other like e-commerce stores where during those sales, they basically have their stock like real-time updated, but they communicate it like you basically can pick up like last pieces for like limited time and everything, and it becomes like a competition to find the biggest gems and pick them up, which might be this thing, but also probably like loyalty programs, right? That's something here, like today in this podcast, we talk about it in terms of like how it relates to apps and digital businesses, but loyalty programs has been here for tens of years, right? And we all probably used many times in our life, like physical paper cards where we were given some stamps or something for doing purchases and stuff, which is exactly it, right?
The interesting thing about loyalty programs is that they are so common that it feels like we are now expecting the stores and restaurants and bistros to have a loyalty program of some sort. And if they don't, then it's just disappointing for us. And we are just, you know, they will most probably not become our favorite supermarket or favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
Maybe with restaurants it's different, but with like smaller bistros where you just go grab a lunch or something.
Yeah.
On a working day.
So that's I have a good example for this. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. But when I moved to UK a couple of years ago, I've been introduced to a chain of restaurants called Pizza Express, where I went there with one of my friends that I made here in the UK, and I wanted to like pay for the meal, and she looked at me and she was like, "What are you doing?" Like, I just wanted to pay like I would always do, and she took out her phone and found a deal online, and she basically explained to me that no one buys for like pays for the full meal in Pizza Express. Like, there are so many like loyalty programs and discount cards and codes that you can find online. Basically, they always have some like sale thing going on. So you basically, she was like, "What are you doing? Like, no one pays the full price in Pizza Express. That's how the business model is built. Like, only tourists pay the full price."
Yeah. I think it's the same with Domino's, at least in the Netherlands.
Yeah,
you know, that's another thing. It's not gamification anymore, but I definitely receive like once in every 2 days, I receive some new coupons or something. It always has different branding, different images. They put a lot of effort into it, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The whole business model is built around it. So that's, I think, maybe an interesting question for you. If you imagine yourself as in the role of a digital entrepreneur who wants to create a new app of some sort, would you be open to implement or include gamification in your business model and come with it as an integral part of your idea? Or would you rather build the business model without it and then maybe add it as another element that could, you know, improve efficiency and attract some other people, increase motivation?
Yeah, I think like the answer to this is pretty obvious for me, which is I would definitely consider it. I think it's a way to go, and it would be stupid to like discard any of these techniques or approaches like upfront. I think it's good, but if I can like rephrase the question, your question for myself, and I think the important thing to consider is like maybe ethics of the gamification, because we are entering an era where ethics in products in general is becoming like a big topic, an important topic, and it can be a differentiator. So for example, we're having a discussion about Pizza Express, right? Like, why do they do this? Why don't they just discount the stuff if anyone can always find a discount code and everything? And the reason is obviously marketing. They are collecting email addresses and everything so that they will give you the discounts as a reward for that. And I think that's where this is something I wanted to like kind of touch base on in the beginning of the podcast, where I said like, gamification cannot put a barrier in front of what the user is trying to do, which I think this would be the main thing to consider if I'm building a new business or building an app and using gamification in it. Is probably the question. The question is not, would I consider gamification? The answer is always yes. But the question should be, do I need gamification for this? If that makes sense. Do you think it's a like right point of view? Or
yeah, I mean, it definitely can bring a burden to for the user to go through some system of levels and point collection. If it's totally not necessary, then yeah, I guess that's a good thought, that if you don't have the need to use gamification, or if you don't really have a problem, then you should first try to just build a business without it, and then you'll see if you have a behavioral challenge that you're unable to solve without it, without the burden that you put on users, then yeah, let's go for it. But before that, you should always try to figure out something that's going to be inclusive, you know, for all the various personas and all the different types of users that you can have.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to talk about? In regards of gamification? We'll probably cut this part, by the way.
Not sure. I think we could wrap it up, I guess.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about some challenges and prospects, but I guess we are doing that now, kind of.
So, from your experience, what do you think the challenges might be for someone who would want to gamify some of their offering or service or just part of the behavior or the experience of their business?
Yeah. So, I was talking about this in the beginning of the podcast. I think one of the biggest challenges is to decide if gamification is useful for you and if it's appropriate for the challenge that you're trying to solve, or for your project in general, for your target audience. So that's one challenge. The other one is hitting the right level of complexity of the gamification elements that you have, that you offer. Because if it's very easy to just go over the top and figure out some very complicated scheme of different points, different levels, different badges that you can collect, and different types of comparisons. But if you make it too complicated, then again, you're creating a burden, you're creating barriers to use. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always good to keep things simple. So that's another challenge, not to use all the gamified elements that you have in there, you know, because there are so many of them, and just use the most appropriate for your target group and the challenge that you are trying to solve.
Good. Well, thank you very much for joining me today for this podcast.
My pleasure.
It's been really cool to like do a different kind of topic, because me and Philip, we usually talk about more general tech stuff, I would say, or business stuff, and it's been interesting to dive a bit deeper into some like specific topic. And I would like to encourage our listeners to let us know if they would be interested in more of like a maybe even deeper dives into some specific techniques or of growth hacking and product development and everything around that, and we would be happy to cover it. Thank you very much, Marek, for your time here today.
Thank you for the invite. All right.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you've enjoyed this bit different format than we usually do. If you've enjoyed this episode, please hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're using. And follow us on our social media. On Twitter, we are @HelloPixelField, and on Instagram, we are @PixelField. Thank you, and see you next time.